I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Lobster.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 141, discussing the Daredevil Season 2, Episode 10, The Man in the Box. This show is recorded on Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of $6 postage.
If you'd like to talk to us about $6 postage, you can get a hold of us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us at our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all at Legends of SHIELD. You can find us at our YouTube, youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And remember, Legends of SHIELD is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
So tonight on Legends of SHIELD, we'll be continuing our RFID SHIELD wallet giveaway, talking Season 2 of Daredevil, The Man in the Box, covering a little bit of Marvel news, and then a little bit of your feedback. This week, we are joined by the one, the only, John O. Lobster.
Hello, and thank you.
Ooh. Where can people hear you, Lobby?
They can find me on Art House Legends on the Gunna Geek Network, talking about classic movies. We're ramping up for some exciting back-to-school action in September. We're doing The Breakfast Club, The 400 Blows, and Rebel Without a Cause to celebrate teachers and students.
I'm looking forward to hearing y'all's Breakfast Club episode, both as somebody who likes the movie and because, as we all know and we'll probably discuss again later in various episodes, the new Spider-Man movie is supposed to have a Breakfast Club feel to it.
It'll have a Breakfast Club feel, and so will we. I believe we'll be joined by a special guest. You know him. You love him. Ferris.
Hate that guy. I mean, what?
You can also find me erstwhile with Agent Haley on Crimson Comet, which comes out now and again to talk about The Flash. Haley, there's some good Flash news coming out this summer. Are you excited?
I am ready to get back into The Flash.
Me too. I can't wait.
I still need to catch up.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm still on like episode 3 of season 1, so.
Well, I heard you like timelines, so.
Got some timelines in your timelines?
Don't get too attached to that one. We'll see. Spoilers. Who knows?
Unless it's not spoilers. Maybe we'll get back to that one.
Yeah. They'll just be like, we fixed it.
I think they're going to Marty McFly it. Like, it's exactly the same, except a little bit better for one person. And a little bit crappier for Biff.
They cut the corners off all the paper now.
So who's the Biff of the Flash in this situation?
I don't think there is a Biff.
Or is that a spoiler?
The Biff? Oh, that's a good question. I would have said that it was season 1, Eobard Thawne. He was kind of the Biff because he was from the future and he like had this whole egotistical vibe going on. I don't know, though.
I don't know. Maybe Cisco's brother?
Could be. He's a good Biff.
Yeah.
He is a good Biff.
I don't know. But check in on Crimson Comet if you want to hear more of our Flash talk.
Absolutely. And poop jokes.
Yeah, of course, poop jokes. I'm sure we'll get some of those in tonight.
Well, undoubtedly, SP isn't here to, like, rein us back.
No, he is not.
He would put us both in detention if we didn't bring up the awesome giveaway we're doing right now, which is the RFID shielded SHIELD wallet.
The SHIELD squared wallet. And in order to get this super awesome RFID SHIELD wallet, which you have to have your contest entry in by September
20th, she says with complete confidence.
By the umpteenth of September.
By the 11th of September.
It's September 20th because we're going to do it.
September 20th. You have to have your contest. I keep wanting to say contract.
Sign your contract in blood.
You have to mail us a vial of your blood. No, that's not it at all.
Don't do that. Do not do that. Unless you want to send it to Starpie, then it's fine.
He'll clone you. I swear it.
What you actually have to do is get us via Twitter, phone call, email, Facebook, whatever. What is the most ridiculous way that Tony Stark would spend money on? We've had a couple of entries. They're pretty good entries. And remember, you got to make us laugh and they've got to be ridiculous.
Entertain us. Dance, dance.
And I suppose they should probably be reasonably work safe since we have to read them on this podcast, which is nominally a PG-13.
Or we could just have Starpie hold down the bleep button while we're reading yours, which is entertaining for us if you win, less entertaining for the rest of the audience who won't know why you won.
Well, see, that's why you should watch the live show, which we're not doing right now because we don't have the technology.
And the contest winning tweet is bleep, bleep, bleep.
And the contact entry is elaborate miming actions while Starpie gets increasingly more horrified.
And then throws his hands up in the air. Come on, guys.
Tune in to see him turn red.
But no, for serious. Have your contest entries in by September 20th. Get it to us in a way that we can look back and be like, oh, there it is. So not like in the chat for a live show.
Doesn't count.
Or if you run into one of us at a con or something, don't tell us there.
Because we will not remember. Because we will have con brain. Con brain is, by the way, a real thing.
Well, we should probably get into this week's episode.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? The man in the box.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? We just did that on our House Legends, too. 7. How much fun was that?
I don't know if fun is the word I'd use to describe that movie.
That movie was one of my favorites when I was in high school, which I think says some horrible things about me, but like we didn't already know that.
Mm-hmm. This is a very 7 type episode, too. There is some gross stuff that you see.
Not as gross as we've seen in some other episodes, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fairly tame by Daredevil standards.
The drill going into Frank's foot is about the most I've been grossed out by this show.
Yeah, pretty much. I like Alice in Chains, the band, and they have this one song, Man in the Box, and that's just all I keep thinking of.
So is that the meaning of the episode title?
Yeah, can we start with the title? What does the title mean? Who is the man in the box?
You know, I kept asking myself that the whole way through. I'm not sure. Could it mean Wilson Fisk, who is in jail?
He is in the box. He's running the box, though.
He is. I'm not too sure who it could mean otherwise.
The only other possible meaning I could come up with would be it being Matt, and it's talking about the box of the life he leads as Matt Murdock. And this episode, he talks about leaving that behind and committing full time to being Daredevil.
This is an episode where you start to really feel how isolated Matt is, how many walls he has put up. And now all of those walls are starting to crumble. And he literally has no one to turn to in this episode except Claire. And Claire is giving him the advice, you need to knock this stuff off and start acting like a human being, which is actually the last thing that he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I have to reiterate my love for Claire, not only because Rosario Dawson is an absolutely like gorgeous, amazing human being, also because Claire is sometimes it seems like she's the only one in the TV verse who has like any ounce of common sense. Matt comes on all dramatic and she's just like, yeah, sure, whatever. I have actual, you know, human problems.
Down here on planet Earth, we deal with these problems. Foggy can be the voice of reason sometimes and the voice of the audience. But in this episode, they shoot him. And then you kind of feel like the audience as well being shot. I don't know. I felt that way.
No, it was pretty much a punch in the gut. I mean, remember in season one, Foggy gets, you know, a little bit of shrapnel in him from that explosion. And they're like, oh, okay. But somehow that feels different than being shot.
The shrapnel, you can say it's an accident. This is like you have been assaulted.
Yeah, this is an act of direct violence.
Well, if you want to ratchet up the stakes, you either put a kid in danger or Foggy.
Oh, it's sad because it's true.
I completely forgot that Reyes died in this episode. Like right up until her blood was spraying across the desk.
For some reason, I thought that she died in Jessica Jones because I was thinking back about it. I'm like, wait, does she survive this? Does she die? Like, she shows up here and then dies on Jessica Jones, or what happened?
Yeah, that's the problem with binge watching. I remember highlights, but I can't remember everything.
Honestly, I didn't know she was dead. I was thinking, I wonder what she's going to do in season 3.
Decompose.
Apparently.
Ouch. Roll over in her grave at that one.
Her head's going to be on a pike.
I have serious issues. I have to start there.
Okay.
That's the biggest problem I have with this episode is her death. Because the entire building is on lockdown. They know, or at least they think they know, that she is being targeted by a known expert assassin.
Oh, let's stand here in front of the open windows.
Who has shot people from rooftops before.
Right.
Exactly. If you know somebody's a target of a shooter, or hell, if there's an active shooter in the area, like the first thing they do is tell you to stay from windows. Did y'all ever have like active shooter drills when you were in school?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like the thing they do is they tell you like get away from windows and hide. So they would be keeping her inside, like as far inside the building as they could.
That building has to have a basement. It's a creepy old government building.
If I'm at home and I don't want people, and that's not somebody shooting at me, that's just someone I don't want to talk to.
Yeah, that's just some kid trying to sell fundraiser crap.
I don't want to hear about your pamphlet, so I'm going to turn off the lights and pretend I'm not home.
Yes, I have heard the good word. I don't need to hear it again.
I usually answer the door with like something like, yes, have you heard about our Lord and Savior Satan? And that usually, you know, flusters people and sends them off and they don't come back.
In this episode, they go through this whole thing about how her daughter is in protective custody at an undisclosed location. But meanwhile, I'm here in my office with the windows open.
I'm right in front of the big plate glass window where anyone can see me.
In the room with my name on the door.
Yep. Oh, they're not going to recognize me in this sweatshirt.
I'm not wearing heels. They'll never know it's me.
It's just so ridiculous. And the fact that she gets killed, obviously they didn't do a lot to make her character likable. But the fact that she gets killed, she kind of did have that coming.
They tried to humanize her a little by bringing up the daughter in this episode.
And how scared she was and just everything like that.
Okay, so that was problem number one on a logic standpoint. From a writing standpoint, character dies not at the beginning of their monologue, not halfway through their monologue, at the end of their monologue.
Yeah, it was like somebody was just waiting for, okay, when would be the perfect moment of impact for this? When she says, I just want to keep my family safe. Bam.
He had the script. I also don't remember who the shooter is at all. I can't wait to find out.
They muddy the waters quite a bit in this episode because you think it's the Punisher.
Well, I love that Karen, like totally not taking up an interest in everything Frank Castle, Karen is like, this doesn't look like one of his scenes. Just noticing the little things.
Except for that time that he just killed all the Irish people through the window, like somebody out of control.
Or that time he shot up a hospital.
But apparently to Karen, there is a subtle difference in the murder sprees.
Yeah.
Which I, again, found hilarious as somebody who came out of the show shipping Karen and Frank Castle. Like, okay, I know it's weird, but the fact that she's like, wait, I notice all these little details about his murder scenes now. And I'm like, I guess that's kind of cute in a really twisted way.
Well,
these are not his beautiful bullets.
Like the editor said, why you'd want to see good in the man who pulls the trigger is beyond me.
Again, it's like we talked about, I guess it was last week, with her projecting her issues on him.
She's identifying with him. Mm-hmm.
What issues is she projecting?
That guy she totally killed last season. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Remember?
The unspoken backstory that she has?
No, the spoken scene backstory. Remember Wesley kidnapped her and she shot him?
Right.
Because he put the loaded gun on the table for her to take.
Yeah, like an idiot.
Is that the gun that she still has in this episode?
No, I think she threw it out.
Yeah, didn't she like throw it in the river or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, she threw it in the river.
Again, I can't remember these things, but she had another one or got another one.
I don't think she had a gun in this episode.
She did. She pulled it out of her dresser.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. If my life depended on it, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It's incredibly easy to get a new gun, though.
In New York City.
Well, especially when you're BFFs with Frank Castle.
Right. For $6 in postage.
Maybe my opinion is colored because I live in Texas and they advertise for the gun show downtown like every other weekend.
It's not like that in New York.
Okay. See, I don't know these things. I've never been to New York.
In the recent presidential primary, the accusation was that the guns were coming from Vermont.
Oh, so threatening, Vermont.
Was that a smack at Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, that was a smack at Bernie. Yeah. That literally came up in a debate.
I am only really familiar with things in Texas, and I'm consistently like amazed at how things are in other states, much less other countries. Like, I find things in other countries much less mind-boggling than things in other states sometimes. But yes, so Karen has a gun.
I guess for me, this episode is less an episode than a series of scenes that are vaguely tied together with some form of plot. Because this episode to me is all about, and I had a hard time remembering this one, because it's really just a jumble of scenes that don't really connect.
That don't really tell a story.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a story start to finish here. It is, with these Netflix shows, kind of a transitional chapter. Mm-hmm. But you get a lot of amazing scenes in this episode. It starts with the kids showing up at the hospital and the discussion with the detective about what exactly is going on. Frank Castle escapes. You have the scene at Reyes's, and then she gets killed. Then you have the reveal from the assistant district attorney Tower, what he knew when he knew it. And then the scene in the prison where Matt and Fisk have their tete-a-tete. That is some powerful stuff. This is the first time that they've sat down together since the end of season one, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. And it was great.
Amazing.
Except for one thing. If we're talking about little things that bug us, Wilson Fisk at one point grabs Matt's head and slams his face like 5 times into the table really hard. Like, his blood is spraying and it splashes Fisk's lips so that it looks like lipstick. And yet Matt's glasses don't break.
His nose doesn't either.
Magic glasses. They're made of adamantium.
I guess, because, yeah, like the rest of his face looks like it's been slammed into a table, but yet his nose and his glasses are fine.
That had to have been a very conscious decision on the part of the director. We're going to show Matt bloodied and bruised, but we're going to leave the glasses.
With the exception of when he's alone with somebody in his apartment, every time he's Matt Murdock, he's wearing those glasses.
Right.
So it very much differentiates him as Matt Murdock versus when he's Daredevil.
Right. Unless he's wearing the hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of also like a thing of vulnerability almost. He only ever takes them off around people that he's really comfortable with.
Yeah.
Usually women.
Women and Foggy.
Back to the prison scene. Vanessa, what did you think of the lawyer guy? I thought for a split second that the lawyer was Keith David, and I got really excited, but it was a different guy who did an awesome job at it. But I was thinking about what Keith David could have done with that scene.
I kind of wish it had been Carrie Ann Moss.
I know, right?
Because this is exactly the kind of scum that she would represent and just have no qualms at all about it.
I don't know if she would sink that low.
I absolutely think she would.
Well, the whole thing is she represents winners.
That's true.
And I guess it would be a trade-off of, do you think you would win this case versus the pay?
Right. How does he find such good help in prison to, like, take his messages and...
Money.
Lots and lots of money.
They make a point of saying that, like, he's almost out of his money because he has all that fund set aside for Vanessa.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess he's drained almost the rest of his resources dry, making sure that he lives a very comfortable life in the prison.
He's doing okay.
He's doing all right.
Like a good steak.
And music.
It's very Orange is the New Black.
And after his little meeting with Matt, he realizes he wants to re-examine all the information he has on him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he knows?
He knows that there's more to Matt Murdock than just being some poor blind lawyer.
Hmm. The scene where Matt's walking in and he's listening to what I suppose is Fisk's heartbeat. Did you guys catch that?
No.
Mm-mm.
As he's walking into the visiting room in the prison, he goes through security and he talks to the lawyer. He signs the affidavit in Braille. And then as he's walking in, he's hearing, And it's this very strong heartbeat that I assume is Fisk's.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. And I almost kind of wish that when they were doing that confrontation scene between them, if you could have kept that in, Matt using his ability, it would have been interesting to know, because obviously Fisk got the jump on him when he realized Fisk wasn't actually shackled. He was just pretending to be shackled and then grabbed Matt. If his heartbeat didn't give him away, because even when Matt was trying to rile him up by talking about Vanessa, he was staying completely dead calm.
Except that that's not really what Fisk does, is he's in control, and then he loses it.
Yeah, he's mostly in control of his rage, but he does get enraged.
Like when he smashed that guy's head with his car door.
I just wonder what that sounded like to Matt, because he seemed surprised. He clearly was taken by surprise because Fisk was able to grab him, and Matt is pretty spry.
I think he was probably surprised because of the handcuffs popping off.
Could be.
Oh no, this did not go as I expected.
No, he didn't see that coming. I think, though, there's something about Fisk that even when he's in a rage, it's calculated. I don't know.
I think he's starting to get that way as he's becoming more and more kingpin and less, you know, the street thug that he was. He's learning to harness his rage and use it in a beneficial way.
Yeah, and I think that his time in prison that we're seeing is kind of tempering him, because before we saw him when he had like everything at his advantage, and now we see him, you know, yeah, he had the money, but now he has to keep his reputation as well. So I think we're going to have to see him making a lot more use of that.
Very true.
So can we talk about Elektra a little? She only had a couple of scenes in this episode, but I really liked them.
Go on.
Okay, so first we have her in the airport bar with a guy, and they're trading stories, and he's like, haha, I know who you are. And then we have the beatdown, that fight in the hangar.
My favorite thing was when she was going to do like the leg flippy thing you see all the time, and he just like stops her and choke slams her into the airplane.
Yes.
That was a brutal fight.
Yeah.
It really was, which is why I liked it. I feel like it's so rare that you get to see a really like knockdown, drag out fight with female character.
Right.
Like usually they're so overly choreographed that it's
right
incredibly artificial looking.
It looks like a dance.
Yeah. And this was, it was painful to watch. It was great.
Where did everybody go in that hangar that were hanging out, serving drinks?
Yeah. Just hanging out. And now
it's like an old West town at high noon. Everybody's just like, oh, gotta go.
They told him there was a happy hour at the bar.
But the bar was that right there in the hangar.
Oh.
That's an interesting setup. I would love to see one of those setups in real life.
I assume it's like all the private jets are going out of there.
Right.
Well, in that case, they told him there was a happy hour at a bar outside. I don't know.
50 Cent Wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. Head out. Get there.
Because there's no one as cheap as a rich person.
No, that's true. They're like, ooh, that's how they got rich.
Yep.
They didn't get rich by spending it.
But she gets the size in this episode. I don't think she's used those yet, has she?
Not that I've seen.
Yep. So that's kind of iconic for her character.
Yeah, when he pulls the size out, I was like, oh no, this is going to be such a mistake on his part.
Not those ones. Any other weapon.
And he might have gotten to leave with a message, but nope. But we find out that the hand didn't send him.
She has like an advantage with the size with everyone except Bullseye.
Aw.
I really enjoyed that she kind of stuck him and then maneuvered him a little bit with them. I did like that.
But then we find out that Stick sent this guy to kill her.
Oh, Stick.
Jeez.
You're such a jerk.
Stick the dick.
Man. So, obviously, she's not going to get on a plane. She's going to stick around in New York. Has unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got to go kill Stick now. Why you got to try and kill, like, all your fake kids?
The heck, man. Why you gotta send your guy?
Look, when all you have is an assassin's training, everything looks like it needs to be assassinated.
It's true.
Yep. And then we have the Children of the Corn thing in the hospital.
Yes. So creepy.
Which I don't think we talked about this earlier when we talked about Claire, but she said they were all drained of blood and then pumped full of chemicals to incubate them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or do other things because people are coming back from the dead left and right.
Yeah, it's a good way to spend a weekend, I guess. Oh, man, at the beginning of the episode when they found those guys and they just had that rubber tube with the blood just dribbling out. Oh, that was gross.
Like the farm.
I don't get really easily grossed out, but something about that just grossed me out.
Tubes. Stale tube blood.
Well, also, it all looked so unsanitary.
Yeah, I think it was the fact that it was dribbling out really thick. I don't know if you've ever had like an accident while you're donating blood where they accidentally, you know...
Blood just is spurting across the room?
Yeah. They did that a couple years ago at, not to me, but to somebody that I went with when they were donating blood. And it was kind of funny, really, although everybody was horrified because it was like Halloween and there was blood all over the floor. And it's actually not that much blood, but, you know, once you start trying to wipe it off, it smears. So everyone thought it was a Halloween decoration, but no, it wasn't. But see, that for me wasn't nearly as bad as watching it just like blah, 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 out of a tube.
My parents were telling me a story that one of their dogs was wagging his tail and it hit up against something and like put a nick on the end of his tail, but he kept wagging his tail. So blood was just spurting everywhere. And they thought if somebody came to the door, they didn't know how they would explain it because it was up the walls and.
Another typical Lauren story. So when I was about 10 years old, me and my best friend, we were doing yard work at a friend's house, and I got stabbed in the arm with a sago palm leaf, which if you've never been around them, they're very, very sharp. And it didn't even go that deep, but I guess it must have hit some sort of blood vessel because all of a sudden there's just blood like spraying. So we're like, this isn't good. So we walk across the yard to her parents' house, and I'm leaving a blood trail the whole way. She had to go inside for newspaper to hold under my arm because otherwise I was going to be dripping on the carpet. And seriously, it wasn't even a big injury, but wow, it did bleed.
You were a bleeder.
Yep.
You would have fit right in with those kids, just saying.
I would have. They would have loved me.
They would have had all the exsanguination.
Good times.
Another minor creepy thing about the hospital scene, when this is minor, but it creeped me out just a little. So when Claire asks Matt, you can just go see Foggy like a normal human. He's like, oh, he's, you know, watching TV. Oh, he changed the channel. Yeah, that's not creepy at all, is it? You know, you're just listening in on him.
Well, she's like, you know, that's creepy, right? And he's like, people keep telling me that.
Yeah, because it's creepy. Stop it.
It's exactly like you were peeping through his window.
But for him, it's just using his senses. Like if we noticed a smell or something like that. Oh, did you wear perfume?
Yeah, but it's more along the lines of something smells weird and then going right up to the person and sniffing at their junk to be like, oh, did you have sex recently?
No, it's the equivalent of you noticing that your neighbor doesn't have their curtains drawn so you can see into their window and then just staring into their window and watching what they do. That's the equivalent.
Creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
I think for Matt, though, it's just what he does. I don't know if he can turn it off. And yet he can be completely surprised by the bullets coming through the window.
Apparently he was focusing on the wrong thing. Well done, Matt.
Or that his nemesis isn't actually handcuffed.
Yeah, he would have to be specifically focusing on Foggy's room because he's three floors down. So there are dozens of other rooms he could be hearing what's going on in. And, you know, he's creeping on Foggy.
I also like that Claire was just, come on, why don't you go down and say hi in your daredevil costume?
Well, Foggy knows. She knows Foggy knows.
You could just pretend to be there cheering up the kids. No, I'm not Daredevil. I'm just a guy in a costume.
I'm one of the Avengers. Hey, kids.
All the Chrises get to go to hospitals and hang out with sick kids. I want to.
Exactly.
No Charlie's allowed.
Earlier, we didn't talk about this when we were talking about Reyes. She mentions that the target of her little sting was a drug dealer called the Blacksmith.
The Blacksmith.
So that's why Frank's family is dead.
A.K.A. Oh, wait, no, I can't say who it is.
Nope, that happens later. But it's the guy.
It's a...
Spoilers.
Person.
It's a person.
Of indeterminate appearance.
So we talked about how this is kind of a transition episode, and I said earlier in our discussions, I don't know how many episodes ago, that I felt like this season had three very distinct parts. So there's part one, where you've got Frank as the Punisher, as the villain, you know, on his murderous rampage. Part two of this season, I felt like, was, you know, the trial of Frank Castle. And then part three is the hand stuff. And this episode kind of switches you from Frank Castle into the hand.
Well, they catch the Punisher, and then Elektra shows up, and then they do the trial, and then the Punisher gets out, and Elektra comes back. This is good stuff. These last three episodes are pretty great, right?
I don't really remember them that well.
My memory is that they're pretty good, but they move really fast. This episode is one of the binge episodes where you like immediately... I had to stop myself because I knew I had to get ready and do a podcast, but I was just like, oh my God, I want to watch the next one. The ninjas are crawling up the walls.
That was a hell of a last scene for the episode.
Yeah, I mean, when you see ninjas about to go in and ninja some people, you want to see what's going to happen.
Ninjas in Paris.
And I guess we'll talk about the ninjas in the hospital next week because...
That's it for this week.
Yeah.
I've got some quotes.
That's it?
Unless you have anything else. Any other points before we do quotes?
I don't know.
Who does Matt know at immigration that he's going to get her visa pulled, or is he just talking out of his you-know-what?
Little column A, little column B. I think he's kind of full of it. I think he was trying to get a rise out of Fisk at that point.
Well, it worked.
Yep. Good job, Matt. Mission accomplished.
Well done, you.
Mission accomplished. I hope your face is happy.
All right. So, do you have quotes, too?
No, I... Remember words.
And just know, someday I'm going to tell you how to do your job. Two aspirin, Catholic morphine.
That one I liked.
Maybe you need to start thinking about climbing off the cross of yours and spending some time with the normal people for a change.
He does have a martyr complex, for sure.
Again, Claire speaking the truth.
I guess that's it. I didn't take very many quotes. Well, a couple of them we already talked about, so.
I like the quote from Matt where he talked about Nobu, a guy that he had seen, like, beheaded. Or burned alive or set on fire is somehow back and I'm just supposed to deal with that. He has no clue.
Yep.
No boo.
No clue about no boo.
Boo.
Ain't no boo messing with you.
I think no boo is messing with him.
He is. He's punking him. Oh, and their fingerprints had been burned off.
Oh, yeah. That was unpleasant.
Speaking of Seven, hey, little connection there.
I can't wait till they make the sequel, Eight.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh, no, that movie was terrible.
It is also a form of torture, though.
That's true.
So, news, right?
News.
What do we got?
So, this is amazing, if it's true. Apparently, there's rumors that ABC is, or Marvel TV, is developing a New Warriors comedy series featuring Squirrel Girl. And it won't air on ABC, but it's being shopped around to both cable and streaming services. The New Warriors would be a superhero squad made up of teenagers, one of whom would include Squirrel Girl. And yeah, because of... the whole recent give us Squirrel Girl thing. I think Marvel's paying attention.
Do you guys see my face? That's my I don't believe none of this BS face. ABC has had so many, oh, we're going to do a show. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to take your characters and put them on a brand new show. Oh, just kidding.
Apparently, it's not actually ABC. I misread the article. It's Marvel TV, and they're looking around for places other than ABC. And I can sort of see them doing this. If the whole, hey, give us Squirrel Girl thing, the whole Runaways thing with all of this, they're kind of striking while the iron is hot. Although I think they probably should have done this maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. We know that Marvel's Most Wanted didn't take off. We heard it was not very good. But I also was thinking that's kind of another thing in the veins of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where you've got not superheroes in a superhero world. And I don't know that the market would really support another show like that. But to have a real fun superhero show would be something that Marvel doesn't have right now. They've got their dark, gritty superhero stuff on Netflix.
They've got cartoons.
Yeah. They've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that is more procedural. This would be something on TV that they don't have.
And DC is branching out with Powerless. Although, I think Marvel is doing, aren't they doing Damage Control or something like that?
Allegedly. I haven't heard anything definitive either way on that one.
Yeah. I know they're doing a New Mutants movie.
Right, but that would be Fox, not Marvel.
That's Fox.
Well, and they're doing a, what was it? Somebody else is getting a TV show series. Oh, maybe they canceled that one.
Hellfire and Legion.
Hellfire they canceled, yeah.
Hellfire was canceled. Is Legion still a go right now as far as we're
Yeah, going? Legion's still a go.
Let me tell you what looks really good. Marvel is coming out with a new comic book series called Champions, which is basically the young generation of Avengers, Marvel Girl, the young Spider-Man, the young Nova, the new Hulk, Viv Vision, quit the Avengers because now the Avengers are fighting another civil war and it's all dumb. So they quit the Avengers. They're starting a new team called Champions. That would be pretty awesome. For a TV show, and you could put Squirrel Girl in there.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Just say. They might want to go with the name recognition, though, which is why they're doing New Warriors.
Yeah, it's about the same for me. I would watch a new show based on the movie The Warriors. Nothing to do with comic books, but still pretty awesome.
They are working on that.
Ah, come on.
No, seriously. Let me pull it up real quick. The Russo brothers are adapting The Warriors for Paramount TV.
Oh, sons of those Russo brothers. God, I love them. That would be awesome.
The Warriors is like a fun movie.
Also, we covered it on Art House Legends. Check it out.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, you need to watch it. So many guys in vests and 70s hair.
Let's see if I can do it here. Warriors,
come out to play.
Oh my God. Love it. So good. Okay.
That's a thing.
What month is tomorrow?
September.
What comes in September?
Luke Cage.
I'm so excited. If you're a fan of Luke Cage, you can check out a new featurette about the music that hit Twitter and other sources. The music in the trailer was awesome, perfect, love it. Bring me that. I want the soundtrack.
They're looking at it as making basically 13 mixtapes or something like that.
I want the awesome mix for Luke Cage.
I want the awesome mix for Luke Cage because, yes, I can't believe it's this close already.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're just going to be finishing talking about Daredevil and another Netflix show is going to hit and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to come back.
We'll have to double up on discussions.
I'm okay with that. Oh, I can't wait because I'm so glad that I work from home these days. I could just mainline Luke Cage. Just give it to me direct in the eyeballs. Come on.
You're going to drain out all your blood and replace it with TV.
I at least don't work on Saturdays anymore, so I won't have to wait too long to start watching it.
Nice.
That's a plus.
Yay. Some other stuff is coming out soon, though. Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Yep. There's a new featurette, apparently a little video thing, that finally gives us more insight into the villains. They're called the Zealots, and they are people who become seduced by what they see on the other side. It's just like a little short thing. The clip I linked to is on IO9. And it's apparently part of an exclusive sneak peek of Doctor Strange from the upcoming iTunes release of Captain America Civil War.
Nice. I am excited for Doctor Strange. I'm getting more excited for it now. None of the trailers have really done that much for me, but some of this behind the scenes making of stuff is getting me excited more than the actual promotional materials for the film, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but I'm excited. I'm due for another Marvel movie. After slogging through Suicide Squad, please give me more Marvel.
I still haven't seen that one.
And from what people have said, I probably am not going to see it for a while.
Yeah. I just barely saw Batman versus Superman.
I saw it like 3 weeks ago. I'm glad I didn't rush out to see it.
Yeah, me and my best friend were like, we were listening to the We Hate Movies takedown of it. We were like, you know what? Let's Redbox this, and we're going to get really drunk and watch it. And we ended up picking up on Amazon because it wasn't on Redbox yet. And wow.
I watched the extended cut where they put a half hour back into it, and so now it felt like it was about an hour too long.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Was any of that Wonder Woman?
I don't know, because I don't know what was not in the original. Because I knew I was only ever going to watch it once, so I was like, well, let me watch the version that is supposedly the better version, at least.
And it was still worse.
Anyways.
I feel that I must opine that Flash costume is abysmal, and I much preferred the TV one.
As Flash fans,
yep,
I could not agree more.
I have no interest in seeing anyone else as the Flash. Grant Gustin forever.
As Cap fans, apparently Steve Rogers is no longer Captain America in the MCU.
Well, he can't be. He gave up his thing.
Yeah. So the Russo brothers were telling Huffington Post that it's a symbol for him giving up his superhero mantle. So because he's probably still going to be, still going to be in Infinity War and stuff. Does this mean he's going to be Nomad?
That's the rumor I'm hearing from other people. So I'm assuming he's going to have like a deep V cut black costume with a yellow cape. It's the look they're going to go with.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And we need to get Hawkeye back in that kind of sort of offensive pseudo disco Native American look that he had for a while in the 70s. You know, the one? Yeah, we need to get that going on. We need to get everybody back in like their weirdest looking costumes. Get Iron Man with the roller skates.
What I'm thinking is, we know that they're hiding out in Wakanda. What is there like a lot of in Wakanda?
Vibranium.
That Cap loves. Vibranium.
Bucky.
And Bucky. Bucky's sleeping. Shh, Bucky's sleeping.
But he's there in Wakanda.
That's true. I watched you while you were sleeping. Could they get Cap a new suit that is Cap-like, but totally made of vibranium like Black Panther's?
I feel like that would be expensive and impractical.
And also totally stealing his thing. Like, dude, that's my look. What are you doing?
We will give you a vibranium teacup.
He can kill them with his teacup.
I said I'm going to kill you with my teacup.
I was just thinking about that movie the other day.
I love that line. That's a great movie.
I love that movie.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Have you not seen that one either?
I've seen Chronicles of Riddick. I just don't remember the line.
Okay, I was about to get really angry.
Chronicles of Riddick is the hill you were going to die on?
No, but it's just like one too far tonight.
All the good things, Haley, and you don't know.
It was just one too far tonight.
Chronicles of Riddick is one of those movies that shouldn't exist. And Pitch Black kind of is like it in a way, but Pitch Black, at least I get like the elevator pitch for. Chronicles of Riddick is just like, we're going to make this movie. Yeah, just because. And there's actually, speaking of director's cut, there's an extended director's cut of Chronicles of Riddick.
I think I've only ever seen it on cable.
That makes it an even better movie. So do check that out.
Have you seen Riddick?
Yeah, I have seen Riddick.
They were like, okay, that Chronicles of Riddick thing didn't work out. Let's make Pitch Black again.
No. Chronicles of Riddick to me is super fun. But I love space epics.
Yeah, it has Carl Urban with like the weirdest hair possible. It has Judi Dench
as an airbender or ghost or whatever the heck she is. And you know who's in that friggin' movie? Well, he's in both of them, but Keith David.
Yeah, Keith David's in it. You have, what's her name? Thandi Newton as Lady Macbeth. Literally, like, painted into a snake suit.
I love her. Colm Feore.
And you have Batman's dad from, like, the Batman movies, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. He's in those.
I think I've seen that movie on FX a lot. You know what else is going to be on FX?
What up?
Legion, which may or may not be X-Men movie canon, sort of.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask. Because Bryan Singer is like, oh, no, it's totally part of the X-Men universe. And FX CEO is like, it's a parallel universe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows?
Well, the whole thing about Legion is he's all about the parallel universes. What's interesting to me is it's being written by Noah Hawley, who did Fargo. Did you guys watch Fargo, the series, either one, season one or two?
No. I watched the first half of season one and haven't caught up yet.
So good. It's so well written, both of them. Season one especially, but I cannot wait to see what he's going to do with this material. And it's Sir Crawley from Downton Abbey. And isn't it Aubrey Plaza too? Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza, isn't it? Speaking of awesome actors, Giancarlo Esposito wants to do a Marvel movie so much that he turned down an offer from Marvel TV.
What was the offer? What was the role?
I don't know.
Because as a longtime Giancarlo Esposito fan, especially from Breaking Bad, give me that thing that he's going to do.
The quote from him is, "They came to me with something for their television department. Then I realized if I did that, I'd never be able to have that same character be in the film department. Once you're in a Marvel character in the television department, you have to stay in that particular character. They can't carry over to film." But yeah, he apparently just really loves Marvel. And that's awesome to me.
Well, I don't know when it was offered. I was going to say, I could see him doing something like the character that Admiral Adama did.
Oh yeah, good call. That would be a good call.
I could see him doing something in Luke Cage also as kind of a call out to do the right thing.
Or maybe he could have been the president, but that would have been an awfully small part for him.
It would have been.
I don't know. The president has shown up in movies and TV.
Yeah, but he doesn't ever get something big to do. He's always just kind of there for a minute and then...
But it's William Sadler.
Yeah. Who I always think of from both Shawshank Redemption and, if I'm remembering correctly, he was also on Roswell.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito, who would you... What would the dream casting for him be?
I don't know. I saw that article and I started thinking about it. Who would I cast him as? But then I started playing World of Warcraft and got distracted.
Mm-hmm. You had better things to do.
I was trying very hard not to die. So that's a question to think on.
Send us your feedback.
Dr. Doom.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, if they could somehow cast him to be Dr. Doom.
If they could somehow do a decent Fantastic Four movie.
That would actually be amazing. Like, oh man, just, yeah, go back and watch him as Gus on Breaking Bad. And then just bring not that exact performance, but that same level of just competence and intensity and like the genial nature of it and the threat to it to Dr. Doom. And that would be amazing.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, that's actually perfect. So speaking of things that are perfect.
Yes.
We get to finally see what Thor was up to during Captain America Civil War.
I almost never watch these videos. This one was amazing. It took me back to the Marvel one-shots that they used to do.
That they should still be doing.
But this was perfect.
So it was directed by Taika Waititi, who's doing Thor Ragnarok. And I could tell because this is so in the vein of What We Do in the Shadows, which if you've never seen, see it. I know y'all are going to be doing it for Art House Legends.
And you're going to join us.
Yes. I'm so excited because I love that movie. But yeah, it's Thor moving in with an Australian guy and it's great. And Bruce Banner shows up and it's great. And seriously, just watch it. No description that we do will do it justice. Just watch it.
I love that he's Thor Odinson and he's living with Barry Jacobson.
Yeah. That and his little drawings and...
His little bed for Mjolnir. Oh, and here's a cartoon. Look what Mjolnir's holding. It's me.
Just little shades of Kevin from Ghostbusters there, which I loved him in Ghostbusters. He was so good.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed...
Let Chris Hemsworth do all the comedy. Come on.
It gives me hope for Thor Ragnarok. I liked The Dark World. It didn't quite have what, I don't know, that je ne sais quoi, I suppose, but there was good stuff in it.
Yeah.
I feel like he can do the humor and you can give him the stuff and do it in a way that doesn't quite make a mockery of the Thor character, but just kind of emphasizes that he is from another world.
I'm just thinking about that video again and laughing.
Anyway, check it out. It's fantastic.
I guess that's all the news for this week.
Yep.
That's all she wrote.
So we have an email from Andy about this episode. Thank you for that, Andy. We really appreciate these emails. So let's see. Matt using Claire's good nature and putting her into danger sickens me. Matt is, again, not a good friend this season. Ray is opening up about her failed sting operation, nearly wanting to believe her, and then Frank shows up, gunning them down. But is it Frank? Dun, dun, dun. Matt really shouldn't have underestimated Kingpin. Trust me, Billing will find you, quote of the episode. That was great. I forgot about that until now, but that was great. The, you saved my life, I owe you. Oh, trust me, Billing will find you. Be a human being. Well said, Claire, well said. Yes. The people clear out the hangar pretty fast. At least Elektra has her weapons of choice now. And the invasion to get back the body snatchers has begun. Bottom line, eek, eek, 9 out of 10 trident daggers.
Nice.
I killed a guy with a trident.
You did, I saw.
That is an excellent pull quote from Anchorman.
I can't even hear the word trident without thinking of that scene. We know we probably had lots of other great Facebook and Twitter feedback this week, but we were super busy getting started on this podcast, so we didn't get a chance to pull it. But thank you for all of that. Keep sending it, and we'll try to include more next week.
Yes. So join us next week as we discuss Daredevil Season 2, Episode 11. I'm not even sure how I should say this one. .380?
I think you just say 380.
Decimal point 380.
Point 380.
Well, I was taught in math, it's 380 one-thousandths.
Yeah.
Just do the math, guys.
But it's season 2, episode 11. So we know how to say that much.
Thank you to everyone who sent us feedback this week and continues to do so. Thank you, Lobster, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for everybody who follows us on Twitter, who hangs around for the live tweets, who shows up in our live chats when we have them, which we did not this week because we can't figure out the technology on our own without Starpy here to guide us.
We probably could. We just know how much of a hassle it is and decided not to.
Also that.
He's the pro.
Yep. Also, don't forget that we've still got our giveaway going on. Thank you to everyone that has participated so far. You can enter by sending us a Twitter message, Facebook message, voicemail, email, any of that information you hear in our intro and outro. Let us know what ridiculous thing Tony Stark would spend his money on, and you will be entered to win our RFID shield.
It's also a boat and an airplane.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah. And at Julianne's Fries. And it doesn't, actually. Don't try that. If you forget any of the ways to contact us, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. At our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Tumblr, all at Legends of Shield. On our YouTube channel, Legends of Shield. And the Gunna Geek website.
Yep. So, until next time, I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Lobster.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.